Okay, sorry about the delay here. This is the 5/30/12 9/11 truth teleconference. We are in the, we have agreed that, was it Dwayne that asked for that exception on the?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Dwayne Dietz was abstained from discussion and voting on the previous teleconference on the issue of the letter to the consensus panel regarding the use of the word attack, and that he also has exempted his abstained today. Whoever has that noise in the background, please use star 6. There's a lot of static noise going on in the background. Somebody's calling there a whole lot. Star 6, please. Somebody's moving around. Star. Thank you, whoever just hit star 6. Somebody's throwing a phone around or something. Okay. There we go. Okay, so now we are discussing the issue, and it's been amended to include a statement by contributed by Paul Zaremka. Paul, would you please reread your statement by which the letter was amended?
Yeah, after the previous, I don't remember the exact passage right now, the exact placement of it, but the amendment is, in the event that you would not personally agree with the need for this change, we would like whether a consensus, paren, meaning the 85% threshold, paren, exists on the panel to continue using the term.
Close. We would like what? What was the word after like?
We would like to ask whether a consensus.
To ask. Okay, thank you. Okay.
85% threshold, right. Parentheses.
All right, thank you. And that amendment was considered friendly by the proponent and therefore included in the draft. So now we are discussing the final approval. And who had the floor? It was Craig,
Paul.
Correct?
Paul
had no.
Yeah, I did.
Paul.
Yeah, I was answering James. He perhaps doesn't understand exactly what happened on the panel. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but let me just say that, no, there was not two people thrown off. There was one person thrown off, namely myself. Mm-hmm. Two people resigned as a result of that and other issues. Then I can explain why it happened, but I don't think it's germane to the issue today. There was some issues about that particular word, but that was definitely not the decisive matter at hand.
So you don't think that's a really sensitive issue with them?
They may agree or disagree, but it's not. Yeah. It was not the fulcrum of the issue about one person getting thrown off and two people resigning.
Okay, well, I misunderstood that.
Very good. Okay, thank you for clarifying that, Paul. And James, do you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I think on balance, if we want to post that to them again, why go ahead. And I'm sure they're already aware of our feeling, but we can pose it to them again.
Okay, so then Craig, and then I have a question after Craig. Go ahead, Craig.
Yeah, I wanted just to point one thing out. I wrote an article on my blog about this in February where I went into great detail about terms that I feel we shouldn't be using in the truth movement. And one of them was specifically attacks used on the consensus website. So I gave numerous examples in that article. So it's not something that just came up because of the departures of the three members. I did, you know, sort of coincide in terms of the letter actually being proposed, but it's not, the issue was not a new issue. The other thing is I wanted just to say that given that the consensus panel describes itself, really, it's really trying to create kind of a historical record of the most persuasive points against the official story. And it
most acceptable, not persuasive, acceptable.
Okay. But the strongest, wouldn't you agree? Like the strongest?
No.
No?
That's okay. Where the controversy comes in.
Okay. All right. Well, that's I'll let that go then. I'm just basically trying to say that because they're they're wanting to create a historical record of these points, to have this term throughout their own material seems to be a problem, I think. And I think a lot of people agree with that. And as far as the amendment goes, I think it makes perfect sense, and I don't think it's really trying to take a dig at them by doing this, because really it's just saying, if you're going to stick to your guns on keeping the word in there, are you going to apply the same criteria that you do when you approve points? In other words, if you don't have 85% of people agreeing, is it really right to for the two founders to make that decision on their own? So I think that's why it's perfectly reasonable to add that to it. So I guess that's all I've got for now.
Okay. Thanks, Craig. I have a quick question for Paul. And I know you said you didn't feel like these questions were particularly pertinent, Paul, but I need to ask this anyway. Was there a consensus of 85% for your exclusion from the consensus panel, or was that decision made?
That was an edict issued by the two founders, Griffin and Woodworth. The other panelists had no role in it, to the best of my knowledge.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So does anybody else feel the need to speak to this issue before we go ahead and decide whether we want to give it final approval?
Robin on the stack.
Okay, Robin, go ahead.
I am in very strong agreement with this approach, with the concept of the whole thing, but I come at it from a different point of view, and I want to support it by planting a seed. From the beginning of my involvement in the 9/11 truth community, it has solely been to try to prevent the next war and to expose our war machine for conducting false flag operations. So most of my material right now reflects the idea that 9/11 indeed was a false flag op. That's what I call it. And the reason that behind that is to try to educate the public as to what a false flag operation is. And false flag operations aren't always attacks. So I'm in support of everything. I don't know whether this might be suggested wording, 9/11 false flag op. I'm not really sure what to do because I'm not a real strong linguist. But I'm in general consensus, and I want to long-term look at 9/11 as a false flag operation. That's all.
I believe, actually, I believe that's actually in the letter. I believe I actually used the term false flag. I could be wrong, but...
Right, I think you did. I think I'm supporting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I haven't heard anybody speaking against this, so I'm going to just ask them for a voice vote. Let me ask this way: does anybody object to our sending this letter?
No.
Hearing no objections, then we will say that the letter received consensus support of the teleconference, and we can move on. Thank you, Craig.
Could I make a statement?
As amended, right?
As amended, of course. Yes, the amendment was incorporated in the draft because it was friendly.
Ken, could I make a statement?
Who?
James.
James, yeah, Brian.
We passed the 15 to 20 minutes on the subject.
Well, we're already past it.
I know,
but
that's why.
James, if it's very brief, please go ahead.
Okay, well, I'm not sure. I think this is apropos in a sort of a general way, anyway, that... I guess the question as to for instance, who engineered and who approved of Paul's ouster from the committee, I think it's very appropriate because I don't think there are any people in the whole movement who are any more admiring of David Ray Griffin than I am, but on the other hand, I'm disturbed lately by the kind of authoritarian tone, and I'm wondering if just he and Elizabeth just kind of are the head of the show, and everybody else is kind of like the tail on the dog. And it bothers me because I have the feeling sometimes that David and Elizabeth would like to do some things. Ultimately, sort of like with the truth and reconciliation idea, that the rest, whole rest of the of the movement would be strongly against, but they would just kind of expect us to just go along with it, and that bothers me a lot.
Okay. I understand your position.
This is a general statement.
Yeah, okay. All right, so let's move on now to our next item. Donna Gary has proposed three resolutions, one of which is contingent on the second one. They're in your draft agenda. We'll take the first one, which is the 9/11 Truth Teleconference encourages its members to speak 9/11 truth in junior high and high school students' classrooms. Is there a second to this proposal? Would anyone like to second?
I would like to second the proposal solely to stimulate and allow discussion.
Okay, so the first proposal has been seconded. Discussion is open. Who would like to be on the stack?
Robin.
Robin?
Before you get into discussion, could I just say a little
bit about it? Yes, you'll have the first minute, Don, to motivate it, and then others will have a chance behind
you.
Robin? Who else besides Robin would like to speak to this?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, who else? Okay. Don, you have the first minute. Go ahead.
All right. The subject of speaking 9/11 truth to students was brought home to me because New Jersey presently mandates teaching a 9/11 truth from kindergarten right through high school. They set it up as modules. In high school, the second module is called interviews. And under the interviews, the way the law reads is students will interview 9/11 survivors, firemen, police, EMTs, rescue dog handlers, etc. So my point is that I believe that volunteers from the 9/11 Truth Movement should be allowed to go into the schools, high schools, and under that particular module in New Jersey and other states, I understand, have already copied this model, and so that they can present the truth version on this. What's the noise that's in the background?
Yeah, we need somebody to please mute their phone. Thank you. Maybe
someone please.
Oh, geez.
Still there.
Thank you. Whoever just muted your phone, thank you, or hung up, either one. Okay, go ahead. Don, is that your statement, then?
That's it.
Okay, thank you. Robin, you want to speak?
Yes, I do quite a bit of work with high school. So, Don, what I'm going to ask you is, have you ever dealt with, each of us have got some age on us. Have you dealt with the young high school, junior high school people recently?
Well, yeah, I actually about a month ago, I contacted I actually went to the Board of Education meeting, and I gave them a copy of the Sovereign newspaper where I wrote the front page article, which titled.
That was not my question.
I thought you asked whether I'm doing anything with this.
No. I asked if you have yourself integrated with junior high school and high school kids of this time period directly.
Not on this subject, but I have integrated with high school kids on other subjects.
Okay. This is my input to the situation. I think that it serves us well that the structured community of education or politics or whatever takes the stand to teach 9/11 in the official OCT, the official conspiracy theory approach, because my opinion is that the kids today are extraordinarily and appropriately skeptical, and their reaction to this is probably going to steer them to doing even more research. So instead of trying to penetrate officially the junior high schools or the high schools, I suggest a better tactic would be to continue to work on improving and modernizing and youthifying our social media spread into you know, the entire diaspora, the whole community that's out there. I think that when we run in, I think that when we take our position and use our energies to run into the existing political, social, educational structure, wherever that might be, that we're not doing well. I think we'd be better off by using the existing social media.
No, Don, no. You don't get to rebut everybody. No, you can't. Thank you, Robert. It's Dwayne's turn to speak.
I'm done. Yep.
Okay. I talk to junior high age and high school age students very frequently about this subject, and it's in the context of the outreach that San Diego 9/11 Truth does down at the harbor in San Diego once a month.
Who is this speaking?
Dwayne Dietz.
Dwayne, okay.
I find it a very good entry point. If there's a family, frequently I begin talking to a junior high or high school age person in the family. They are much more willing to kind of, they're inquisitive. They want to know what we're doing there. But you have to judge by the individual person. A lot of times the parents will just kind of stand to the side, and it isn't until the conversation continues on that they then kind of engage in it. So I'm just saying that that's a very effective way to get things going, and I also a lot of times will ask a junior high age student whether they talk to their friends about this subject. And a lot of times they'll say, well, yeah, they know that their teachers absolutely only have the official story. So it's a way to kind of bring the subject up. But I cannot see how going to a school room and getting approval of a teacher, that to me is not a good idea. You'd have outraged parents once they heard about it.
Why is it a good idea for the...
Don, you don't have the floor. Dwayne has the floor. Don't you understand that? It's not your turn to speak.
No, go ahead.
Dwayne,
right,
please continue.
It's because you're tailoring to the inquisitiveness of the students. I mean, if the family doesn't want their kids even discussing it as they walk by our outreach, then it doesn't get discussed. We don't ever start a conversation unless someone is showing an interest and coming over and wanting to know what it's about. But I think you need to have that interest, and you're not going to get that in a classroom where some of the students, their parents would be very upset. Over.
Well, you get a chance to answer these statements at all, Ken?
No. Not yet. We're nearing the end of our 10 minutes. We need to hear everybody's opinion, Don. We heard yours. Now we've heard Robin, and we're just about finished with Dwayne.
Okay.
And anybody else that wants to speak will have a chance that hasn't had a chance to speak yet if we have time. Okay.
Paul Grimke.
Paul, okay. And then I think that's about all we have time for on this issue. Go ahead, Paul.
I will vote against it unless the word classrooms is deleted.
Okay, so you're asking Don to make a friendly amendment to delete classrooms, is that correct?
Correct.
So, Don, do you want to delete classrooms from the proposal or no?
So, is Paul saying that that this would be, his idea is to be able to speak to individual students outside of schools, or what's his point?
It actually doesn't say outside of school. It just says, generalizes it to junior high and high school students without specifying classrooms, okay?
I have no problem with that, as long as...
Okay, then if you accept it as a friendly amendment, if there's no objection, we'll amend it so that it removes the term classrooms, okay? We're out of time on this issue. Unless somebody wants to make a motion to extend discussion time, we should go ahead and take a vote on it. All in favor of the proposal number one by Don Mazzarellian, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. The motion carries. Okay, the second motion is the 9/11 Truth Conference teleconference agrees that explosives, not fires, caused the collapse of the three WTC towers on 9/11/01. Is there a second to this motion?
Craig, I'll second it.
Craig has seconded it. Okay, it's open for discussion. Let me take a stack here, and then Don, you'll have the first minute to speak through it. Who wants to be on the stack?
Dwayne.
Robin.
Dwayne. Robin. Who else? Okay, Don, go ahead.
All right. Well, I think the only reason there is a 9/11 truth movement is because they realize there's an official lie. And the official lie is that fires caused the collapse of the Twin Towers and Building 7. And the evidence points to otherwise, that it was actually a controlled demolition or explosives caused it. So I've taken out all the things that we voted against under my 9/11 truth proclamation, and just honed in on the word explosives caused the collapse of the, and then not fires, to keep it real simple.
Okay, Dwayne?
Okay, actually it was gravity and fires, not just fires, is the official story.
It didn't say fires, it was explosives.
No, I know. No, hold on. It's gravity and
fires.
Well,
gravity was a hit. Gravity brought the buildings
down.
Don,
no, Don, please. Let Dwayne,
I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm just confused, that's all.
Using the word explosives is controversial within the 9/11 truth movement. Some people think it was something less than that, nanothermite being a very low-grade explosive at best, and some people don't like the word explosive. Other people like mini nukes. Other people like directed energy. It's not a consensus that the word explosives characterizes the added energy that was brought to bear. Over.
Okay, thank you, Dwayne. Robin?
Dwayne said exactly what I was going to say. No matter what we come up with, I do not want to do anything to exclude research into other possibilities. I support what Dwayne just said.
Okay. Over. Is anybody that's not had a chance to speak yet wish to speak? Okay,
yeah,
well, since you're still...
How should it be worded? That's my question. How do you want it worded?
It's hard to come up with a simple couple of words that is not getting things more complicated. You want it to be very simple.
Right.
It might be something like added energy sources beyond gravity, but that's too complex. So I don't know what a good set of words are.
Yeah, but you have to counter the word fires, because fires is the word that comes up all the time with the official story, the word fire. So there has to be something other than fire, and explosive can be either directed energy causing an explosion or nanothermite or anything else, but the end result was it was a controlled demolition. It's the only way those buildings could have come down in the footprints, all three of them. So they were explosives. This is the whole point.
Does anybody who has not spoken yet wish to speak?
Paul Zaremka?
Paul?
Yeah, I would just say offer another amendment, which he can take as friendly or not, but 9/11 Truth Teleconference agrees that fires did not cause the collapse of the three WTC towers.
That's a good point. And that would take it out to kind of Congress. I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Okay, so the proposal has been amended to read the 9/11 Truth Teleconference agrees that fires alone did not cause the collapse of the three WCC towers and 9/11/01? Is that
put alone out of that? Just fires did not cause. Not alone.
Fires did not cause. So that means that they weren't even a contributing factor then, right?
Fires did not cause the collapse of the three WT. I think that's a good suggestion.
All right. Well, that's how it's been amended then. By a friendly
Robin
amendment.
On that the amendment.
Robin, go ahead.
Yes, I would ask everybody's wisdom here whether it should airplanes crashes, airplane impact. I don't think we should leave, even though the discussion is wide open and I'm not really sure where I'm standing on that. I just think that the general consensus in the public is that it was a combination of fires and airplane impact. And if we just narrow it down to fires, then the public's going to say, well, all right, then it was the airplane impact. And
that's
I think that we should cover them and take the position that we do not believe, and I certainly do not believe, that fires and any aircraft impact caused that.
I'd like to restate it in accordance with that, Ken. I would say the 9/11 Truth teleconference agrees that neither airplane impact nor fires caused the collapse of the three towers. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good suggestion.
How about this, if I may, Don? The 9/11 Truth teleconference agrees that fires and the impact of planes do not sufficiently explain the collapse of the WTC towers on 9/11.
No, I think, well, it should be more specific. I'd like to say it just strictly that neither airplane impact or fires caused the collapse. Neither.
Okay, well, it's your amendment. It's your proposal, so that's fine. We'll leave it at that. Okay.
Neither airplane impact or fires caused the collapse. I think that's a good suggestion, and that takes out the word explosives, which I think is good. So that's what
okay,
I would
have
Craig, can I get in on? Can I say something, Craig?
One moment, Craig. I feel a need to debate this issue, so I'm going to ask if somebody who feels neutral on the issue can take my place as facilitator on this question. Can somebody who's not particularly concerned about the outcome of this take my place for this issue as facilitator?
Well,
somebody.
This is Dwayne.
Dwayne, you can do it?
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Dwayne. So far on the stack is Craig wanted to speak, and then I'd like to speak behind Craig, please.
Craig, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that I agree with what Ken just said as suggested wording. I think there's a problem with the wording that Don was just saying, or that was just suggested about saying that neither caused the collapse, when somebody could then argue, well, combined, the two of them caused the collapse. So neither one did, but combined they did.
No, I don't see how you can interpret that.
Don, do not talk back. Just listen.
Right. I think the point in doing something like this is to have it absolutely precise so that there's no way that anybody can misinterpret it at all. And to say that the plane impact and the fires do not explain the destruction of the buildings, are not sufficient to explain the destruction of the buildings, I think covers it without any little loopholes. So that's
not
okay. Agreed. You're next.
Thank you. My feeling is that this proposal should not be voted on or should not be approved for the simple fact that the 9/11 Truth teleconference has never put itself in the position of making positive statements about research and about explanations or anything else. It's basically been about activism and about sharing notes and discussions of controversies, but it has never taken positions on these sorts of things. And I'm afraid if we start this, it's going to be a slippery slope where we're going to be expected to weigh in on various research areas where we really, in my opinion, don't have the wherewithal to take a position.
Can I make a comment?
I'm not quite finished. And then the facilitator is Dwayne, anyway. So I'm concerned about the direction that this would take us as a teleconference, that it seems to be changing our mission to one of taking positions on controversial questions within this movement rather than being an open-ended place for forum and discussion and sharing notes and so forth. So that's my concern. I just wanted to register that in passing. Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else want to hold on? Hold on, Don. I want to see if anyone else wants to say anything, and
I'll
give you an opportunity. Who is this?
Robin.
James.
Okay, Robin, and then James.
Okay.
Robin, go ahead.
Yes. I'm sort of only into this teleconference for about a year now, so I don't know the history that Ken just explained, and I think that might be worthy to table this until next teleconference, because I think his points are important. However, I really feel that I go in the 9/11 Truth community, whatever group is saying whatever, there is a real general simple consensus that the fires and the planes together did not, either or, did not bring down the towers. I feel, even though it might be contradictory to what Ken says the mission of the teleconference is, and I'm going to defer to that and honor that, I really feel that that's one important point that is okay to be made. The buildings came down for other reasons than impact and fires.
Good point.
James?
Well, I just say that I, too, of course, agree with the point of the resolution. However, I also agree with what Ken had to say about the role of the teleconference, and I think that it's important to maintain that lest we run the danger of becoming another consensus panel and judging issuing our judgment on different questions where there is maybe some controversy one way or another. I don't think that is our role.
Yeah, Ken, I want to get on the stack on this one. Okay.
Okay, Don, you can go ahead and talk now.
Okay. We spent over a half hour talking about the word attack and basically voting on it. Something as fundamental as this, and again, I thought the suggestions of taking out the word explosive and putting in neither the aircraft nor fires caused a collapse. That is so benign, so straightforward, so much to the point of what we did, that if we don't do it, we're remiss in not doing it. This group should be able to take a stand on something, because the feedback I get is, what good is the teleconference group? All they do is discuss and they don't take any action. Here's your chance to take action on a very, very important thing that can take and bring the whole thing together as a focus point. So again, I'm willing to change the wording to add, take out the word explosives and put down neither aircraft nor fires caused the collapse of the three towers. And this is especially true for Building 7 because there was no aircraft anyway.
Okay, thank you, Don. I'll have to say, as a facilitator now, that I think Ken did bring in another aspect to the whole thing that, let's say, I kind of think we ought to think about it for a month or so, but that's just my view.
I think you should vote on it now. This has been 12 years, 11 years since this happened.
Can't we
agree on one simple point?
No, but Ken has raised an issue that I think does need more thought. But
no,
let's
see
if others.
Because you've always taken votes.
Don,
every week
Paul Zaremka on the stack.
Don. Okay, Paul. I just want to make sure that maybe Ken and I are not the only ones thinking along this line. Paul, go ahead.
I move to refer this to the next teleconference. Along with his third resolution, because both of them are tied together.
Right.
Okay. Is there a second to that, or I don't know whether there's a second.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's moved and seconded.
But I want to change the form of the resolution. I want to change the form before you do. So that
You'll have an opportunity when we bring it up again later. Is there any objection other than what Don is saying to putting this off till next month? Hearing no objections, we'll put it off.
I'd just like to change the wording on it so that when you report it in the minutes, you put the revised wording on. Can I make that statement now while we're talking?
It's already been amended, Don. It's been amended to your satisfaction. To what you agreed to, okay? That last wording, and you want it, maybe you should repeat it now for the record.
Yeah,
it's wording that will.
I'll say it. I want to repeat that. The 9/11 Truth Teleconference agrees that neither aircraft impact nor fires caused the collapse of the three WTC towers on 9/11/01. Those are the exact words that I'd like to have seen put in the minutes.
But excuse me.
This is the amendment I'm making. Okay, I want to make it real specific.
Yeah, he's already made this change by friendly amendment. So that is the current status of the proposal. Okay.
Say something here? I don't think that was Paul's amendment. Paul's amendment said agrees fire did not cause the collapse. That was Paul's amendment, which you know, Don, I don't think, has standing to just change
amendment to what he likes. If I may, Dwayne, the way we usually handle this is as long as it's still somebody's personal proposal, if they handle it as a friendly amendment and there's no objection, then we just amend it on the spot, okay? And so since Don said he accepted Paul's amendment as friendly, then we just amend it as is, okay?
But then he changed the wording after that.
I didn't catch that.
I got both. Neither aircraft impact nor fires. That's it.
I don't think you get to do that because Paul made an amendment. You accepted it as a friendly amendment, and now we've deferred it. So what's on the record is Paul's amendment, which is agrees fire did not cause the collapse.
There was discussion beyond that, Dwayne, where the point about aircraft impact was brought. And I thought that was a good point. So I believe both should be put in there. And that's exactly what I did, since it's my proposal. Okay,
that's my recollection too, Dwayne.
I'd like to see whatever Craig has as his recording of the amended motion be what we have in the minutes. It can be changed again next week, next month.
Right.
I would like to see my final amended proposal, and if you want me to repeat it again, Craig, I will.
Dwayne has requested the secretary to read it back in its current form, and that's what should happen now.
Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Okay, what I have was Paul's amendment, which was accepted as a friendly amendment, was that the teleconference agrees that fires did not cause the collapse of the three World Trade Center towers. Now, then we went into discussion, and in the course of the discussion, Don said, no, I'd rather have it this way.
Now, somebody else brought up the aircraft, if you remember that. I did not bring it up, and I agreed to it as a friendly suggestion, and I said both should be put in there. You didn't get it, Craig. The point was neither aircraft fires.
I understand what you're saying.
I want the final thing, the way, since I proposed the original one, I want the final version to include the exact words that I have. I don't want it limited to fires. I want neither aircraft impact nor fires. Those are the words I want.
Right, but we never voted on that as an amendment.
No, we didn't vote on any of this. So this is what I want to have as the final thing.
So
this
is what I just going to clarify it then, Ken.
Point of order.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? That it's still Don's proposal. It's not the group ship, okay? So if Don wishes to amend it between now and next week, he can do so. And we should just allow the matter to rest until next week.
That's what I just did. So Craig is secretary, and I'm asking him to put it down the way I've said it.
Well, he's not agreeing to do that, Don. But you can put it in. You can say next month that this is the current form that you would like. And you can actually say that before we put out the draft agenda if you wish, okay? But he's recorded it differently.
Well, I'd like to have it in the minutes.
Right. That's a motion. Let's put it to a vote, Dwayne. Okay.
I'd like to make the motion then to amend my original statement to read, the 9/11 Truth Teleconference agrees that neither aircraft impact nor fires caused the collapse of the three WTC towers on 9/11/01. That's what I'd like to see in the final
version. Okay, do I hear a second?
Ken?
Is that a second?
I heard the dog second it.
Was that? I didn't hear whether that was a second or whether that was
the dog said okay.
Yes, there's a second.
Okay, right. It's moved and seconded. All in favor of having that in the minutes?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed?
I'm opposed.
I'm opposed too.
To it being in the minutes?
Yeah.
We're not passing it.
Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to understand whether he amended his original thing. Like,
yeah, I did.
After accepting the amendment from Paul, he then changed the wording to something else.
That's
I need a real specific what it is now. So I don't know what the question is, actually.
Yeah.
But that's all right. We have a majority voted for it, so that's...
Okay. Well, whatever the majority wants, that's fine.
Thank you very much, Dwayne, for filling in. I appreciate it, and you did a marvelous job. Thank you.
Well, I don't know about that.
Am I putting both sets of wording in the minutes?
The motion was made to amend the minutes to reflect that latest version. So that's
the latest version.
Did you get the latest version, Greg?
I've got the latest version. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So
I just want everyone to be clear that we did not pass.
Right.
Well, that's
the overall.
It's going to be in the minutes for a vote for next month. Exactly.
Okay.
Okay. So now we can move on to our first focus discussion this evening. Dwayne is here. Yeah. No, not Dwayne. James is here. Okay. Should the 9/11 Truth Movement arrange an annual inclusive enclave to discuss developments in activism and research? And this is this discussion will be led by James, who wrote an essay on the question and published it on our list, sir. James, go ahead.
Well, I really didn't have anything formally prepared. It was just an idea that was sparked by the fact that, well, there was the Toronto hearings, and a lot of people, I didn't have any particular feeling about this, but a lot of researchers felt that they were left out selected out of the Toronto hearings, weren't allowed to participate, and then I guess they're, some of them have gotten together, and my understanding is the Vancouver hearings are going to be kind of mostly for those who felt left out. And I'm wondering if we couldn't maybe instead of maybe have an annual get together and not spend our money on reserving a big hotel or something, but maybe meeting under a large tent someplace in an empty lot in a different location every year, and just kind of having a rendezvous or a truth fest or whatever you want to call it, and just inviting everyone, leaving it open. Any 9/11 truther can participate, can present. We can talk to each other. We can invite the public and the press in, and just kind of have a little less academic kind of a conclave annually where it would be fun and interesting, and we could all share ideas together in a different location each time. You know, just a general idea.
Okay. Would anybody like to join the discussion on that question?
Robin on the stack.
Robin, anybody else?
Okay,
go ahead, Robin. Dwayne, you're after Robin. Go ahead, Robin.
Yeah, I've written somewhat about friendly fences, and I've written somewhat about taking a look at COPA, which is the Committee on Political Assassinations, and how they have managed themselves with all their differing opinions over the years, and suggested that indeed the 9/11 Truth Movement do take this approach. However, at the moment, I think that it is healthier to allow all of the different contingents and angles and groups and perspectives that are going on to have their say. And so I wouldn't really want to corral anything right at the moment. I think that the 9/11 Truth community is reacting appropriately to Griffin Woodworth, I forget her name, and the Toronto hearings as being too autocratic. And so in one way, this idea lends itself to a kind of a narrowing, and I'm very thrilled at the fact that the truthers out here are refusing to go along with this narrowing, and I mean not to diminish anybody, Griffin or Woodworth or anybody else. So it's a great concept that we should keep in mind, but I really think we should keep fertilizing, watering, and providing sunlight to anybody who wants to just dig to the story. Over.
Okay, thanks. Dwayne?
Yeah, it seems to me that a lot of it depends on someone having the energy and the passion to pull it together. And I don't think that this particular telecon, I don't think of any individual in it that is wanting to do that. But if they did, maybe they do want to do it, then it seems like we would join up with them. So I think it should just be left to someone taking the initiative to pull it together. Over.
Okay. I guess I'd like to join the discussion too. Who else would like to speak? Anybody else would like to speak to this?
Yeah, Ken, I'd like to be on the stack.
Okay, Don, and then who else? All right, Don, go ahead, and then I'll follow you.
Yeah, was that Wayne? Dwayne that just spoke before about.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good point you made, Dwayne. And that, yes, there should be a focal point that everybody, all the different theories, ideas within the 9/11 Truth Movement could all agree on the one. And I think that what we just shelved until next month is the thing. That is that between the three incidents that happened, the Pentagon, the Twin Towers, and Shanksville, of the three, the most easiest.
Excuse me, Don. As moderator, I'm going to have to ask you to speak to the question here, which is, should we have an annual conference? Okay, that's the question here. That's the only question we're talking about, right? This is a focused discussion.
What are you going to do at the conference? To do what? To try to bring the Truth Movement together, right? That's what I thought you were talking about.
At a conference, yes.
Yeah, you want to have a conference. Since theoretically, this group is supposed to be made up of leaders within the 9/11 Truth Movement. Now, I believe that's what our purpose is. We are basically leaders within the Truth Movement, and as such, leadership is through a teleconference group. We should be able to agree on something significant that can be brought to the public as a news release and say, yes.
You're still off the subject, Don. The question is, do we want to promote an annual conference? Do you want to speak to that question or not?
Yeah, we should have an annual conference.
Thank you. Who else would like to speak? Well, I guess I'm next on the stair. I'm personally pretty taken by this idea, and I think While I don't believe the teleconference would be the sparking agency to organize such a conference, that there may be some role for us to help spark the idea in the movement so that whoever does have the wherewithal to organize it could take it. If we thought about taking a position in support of it, for example, as a way of helping to galvanize the movement and to give us a better feeling of solidarity and so forth. That's just my thought. Okay. Who else would like to speak?
Robin, if nobody else.
Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I'd kind of, the way that I look at the whole scenario, the high perpetrators are doing the majority of their work hiding what they pulled off at the Pentagon by giving us red herrings and all kinds of information, leading us left and right and opposing each other. So I kind of think that the Pentagon and American 77 story is probably going to be the longest lasting, which is why I had Anna, I believe, or somebody down in Washington, D.C. area originally about having an annual OPA formatted discussion about about what did happen at the Pentagon or what didn't happen at the Pentagon. Besides, it would be a beautiful thorn in their ass. And so I would encourage that this teleconference support the idea, okay, of an eventual annual gathering. My focus is the Pentagon issue because they're always going to keep on putting out stuff. The closer we get to them, the more they're going to put out, okay? And we're getting pretty close. So that's just my two bits. That's all.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. Well, I hope we'll revisit the issue. Thank you. Now, the next focus discussion is on the question of the Vancouver hearings. And, Dwayne, you wanted to head us off on that one. Go ahead.
Well, yes, it's coming up in a couple of weeks, so it's all been finalized, the agenda's finalized, and it's, as someone said earlier, it's kind of covering all of the things that the Toronto hearings wouldn't allow in. I think it's going to be an interesting several days. They picked up on one part of the Toronto hearings by having some judges, and they've got two judges. One of them is they're very good to have, is a judge that was part of, that was a judge for the Kuala Lumpur War Crimes Tribunal, mm-hmm. which found George W. Bush and his cohorts as guilty of war crimes. So that will be taken to the UN. Probably the UN won't do anything with it. But here we've got a judge that was part of that process, which maybe means that the findings that come out of these hearings might take a similar path. I don't know.
What judge are you talking about?
His name is Alfred Lambarmont Webry.
Weber.
He's a Canadian. Let's see what it says here. He submitted a memorandum to the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee calling for the appointment of special prosecutor to investigate 9/11 and was a co-architect for the Space Preservation Treaty endorsed by more than 270 NGOs worldwide. So it's a prominent person that will bring a degree of, properness, I guess, to the whole deliberations. And there's a website if you want to go look at the speakers. I'm one of the speakers. That's why I suggested I could cover it, that it's basically the Vancouver hearings. 9/11 Vancouver hearings.
Is Josh Blakeney organizing that?
Jim Fetzer is the primary one. there's someone else that's helping him. I can't remember what the name is.
It's Josh Blake.
Blakeney.
Yeah, Josh Blake is very active.
Okay. Any questions?
Okay. Any questions?
Robin on the stack.
Craig.
Robin, firstly, Craig.
Just continuing with my general idea that allowing people who are interested to explore their own avenues is absolutely excellent. I have criticized Griffin directly, personally, and I criticized the movement for excluding, looking into Israel's role, Mossad's role in 9/11. And I applaud the fact that the Vancouver hearings are, keeping that investigation avenue alive. I am not claiming that Israel did it all. I don't know. I'm just saying that I applaud the fact that Vancouver, somebody's gotten together and have simply decided that the gatekeeping at Toronto is unacceptable, and I applaud this group for saying that gatekeeping at this consensus, whatever it is that Griffin and Woodward are doing, is not acceptable. They're important, but they're just part of the mosaic of the 9/11 truth community. Over.
Okay. Craig?
Yeah, I just wanted to say quickly, I'm really looking forward to the hearings, too, to see what comes out of it, because it will be so different from Toronto. But I also just wanted to mention to people that apparently that you will be able to watch it on the web live. So if you go to their site, I guess, I don't have the link, or what the link is, but basically you can watch all the presentations over the web.
Are they using Ustream, like the Toronto hearings did? You know?
I'm not sure if it's the same sort of outfit, but
okay.
I think so. Might be.
Okay. Anybody else want to speak on this question, or make a comment, or ask a question? Okay. Well, thanks for bringing that to our attention. And now it's time for announcements. Does anybody have any? We'll see. Richard Gage's tour with edited version of Experts Speak Out. Dwayne, you wanted to speak on that. Make let people know about that, how that's going.
Right. I brought that up because the first talk in the series of, I don't know, about 30 or so that is going nationwide, he started in San Diego. And so I was there and actually did the videoing of the Q&A afterwards, which went on for about an hour and 20 minutes or so. That was very lively. But it's a very good production, a bit long, unfortunately, but I think it's well worth it.
It's 92 minutes, right?
Yeah.
On the stack, though, Ken.
Oh, okay. Okay, Don, I think you're first, and then Robin.
All right. I'd like to mention that Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth had submitted a petition to Congress. This was about, 5 years ago, was it? Because I was one of the engineers that did sign that petition, and I don't think that got anywhere. Am I correct on that?
Correct.
Now, my question again is, is there anyone that followed it up to find out why this never went anywhere?
This is Dwayne speaking. I don't think there's anything that officially is done when you submit something to Congress. If there's no member of Congress that wants to do anything with it, it just sits. It's got to go somewhere. It's got to go to a committee or something.
Right. It really should have gone to a committee, and there should have been some sort of follow-up on this by the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, I believe. And it should have been publicized that this is, they took the time to get all these signatures, and then Congress did absolutely nothing with this. That should be out, should have been out in the papers, and it should have been common knowledge to people.
Robin on the stack.
Okay, let's see. I'm sorry, somebody was after Don. Who was that?
Robin.
Robin, and then, okay, I guess Robin. Go ahead.
Don, this is a personal comment to you. For some reason, I actually think that you think Congress and our political system works.
Oh, no, I don't. Absolutely not.
The only?
I'm not that naive. But however, I believe there should be this should be publicized.
Can you let me finish?
Go ahead.
Thank you. The only person who mentioned anything about 9/11 in Congress, okay, is a fellow named Dennis Kucinich, who AIPAC has finally been able to get out of Congress, okay, through odd means. You're, I think, missing the boat. This is a grassroots movement. All of the existing congressional people, senators and congressmen, and deeply into the White House, are all guilty. They know they're guilty. They know what their country did. They were in charge when it happened. They're going to cover their asses. We need to go another way. So when you talk about these things that seem to be dated 5 and 6 decades ago, it's pretty frustrating. Most everybody else, I think, on this committee understand, or this teleconference sort of understands that the system, including the corporate media, are broken because the corporate media were involved in the whole deal too. So it's pretty frustrating to me personally, okay, to hear you keep on saying that should have, and you're ignoring the fact that the entire boondoggle is corrupted. We need to
this
do this on our own.
This is the first time I brought this up, so as to far as repeating it, this is the first time I'm doing it, so I don't see where you're coming up with that. And I am not naive, by the way.
Okay, well, I would just like to say quickly that Cynthia McKinney also mentioned it in Congress.
You're right. Thank you.
Okay.
Where is Cynthia right now?
But Cynthia has been removed.
Exactly.
She was removed quite a while ago, yeah.
That's correct. And is this, so we're talking, is Robin again on the stack, is this okay?
Okay, yeah, Robin, go ahead.
I was at the Seattle screening of the latest thing, and comparison to what Gage put out the first time, Experts Speak Out, this is about 1,000 times better. It is so much better. And actually, I wanted to maybe can do just state my opinion now about it, because I wanted to solicit some information at the end of this teleconference about what people thought about it. But in addition to getting the first part of and all the experts and everything just much more lively and functional, okay, and less boring, I just have to absolutely commend architects and engineers for getting and also commend the psychologists who have stepped up and done a brilliant job. Wow, what a terrific conclusion to that film. So overall, I think the product is the best one the 9/11 Truth community has put out by far, and it probably is going to be able to be tweaked a little bit and get a little bit better. But the psychological end of cognitive dissonance was terrific, because I'm in the streets between 1 and 5 times a week trying to tell the story, and man, the number of eyes that are like deers in the headlights. It's stunning, but it's reality that we have to deal with. So this is a giant step ahead. Kudos to everybody involved. Good job. Over.
Okay. Unless anybody else has anything to add, then thank you for bringing that to our attention. Any other announcements?
Ken, just Craig.
Craig, yeah, go ahead.
Just quickly, I just went over to the Toronto Hearings website the other day, and I noticed that the DVD has been released already. In fact, it says it was released in April. I didn't even realize that. But I just didn't know if people generally knew that this was now available.
Thanks, Craig. Told me one.
Okay. Yeah, Ken, I'd like to make an announcement.
Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
I went online to find out what percent or what polls have been taken as to the percent of Americans that believe the official story or disbelieve it. It turns out that the latest New York Times CBS poll take the figure around 85% of Americans do not believe the official story.
That's recent, Don? You're saying that just came out recently?
I didn't see the date on it, but it was, that's the last poll that I saw.
Would you, may I request that you send a link to that to the listserv for everybody's reference?
Sure, no problem.
Thank you. That's very important. Okay. Finally, the Coen film, we can spend a quick couple of minutes on that. I'm sorry, I don't remember who wanted to speak to that.
I had an announcement.
Regarding the film?
No, regarding...
Go ahead with your announcement.
That anybody who's going to be in the Seattle area on the Wednesday, June 13th, that's just prior to the Vancouver hearings, Jim Fetzer is going to speak, give a talk here. You can get the information at 911truthseattle.org about where it is. And Dr. Fetzer has some new information he's going to present about how holograms might have been projected in, at the World Trade Center. But the title of his talk is going to be, Were Even the 9/11 Flights Fabrications? So if anybody's going to be here, do come and hear him.
Okay, thank you. Is the person on the call who requested talking about the Hollywood version of the Hollywood film by Coen was producing?
Robin, yes.
Robin, yes. Okay, this is your opportunity here.
Okay, I'm not really sure where I got this information. I might have been reading through the upcoming Vancouver hearings. I read so much, I don't know. But as I suspected initially, anything that's coming out of Los Angeles is designed to hide and protect Israel. Coen film, turns out that a guy named Matthew Kasovitz, okay, which is an actor in Spielberg's Munich film, okay, was the guy that gave Gravel $50,000, okay? He's the thing. Okay, so that ties that circle in pretty good. And
hold
the
on.
Bottom line of the story, if it comes out of Hollywood, let me just tell you straight out, it's gatekeeping for Israel. Period. Over.
Hey, this is Dwayne.
Yeah, Dwayne, go ahead.
Now, Robin, that particular person is no longer with the project. So I don't think it's applicable anymore. I mean, your point may be correct, but not with that particular director.
Yeah, I'm talking about Hollywood, Dwayne.
Well, yeah, I can't deny that.
The director being who?
It was a Coen film.
Coen was the producer.
Yeah, Coen.
One of the directors that
was going to be a Coen film produced out of Hollywood.
Right.
All of a sudden, it turns out that this Kasovitz guy, actor in Spielberg's Munich, was the guy who gave the Gravel Initiative $50,000. All I'm trying to tell you is that that's a circle. Okay? That circle's been connected now. Okay, and I'm saying that once Gravel and all of that stuff is out of the Citizens Initiative thing, you know, that's a healthy deal. So, to me, we cut off a gangrenous leg.
Oh. Hmm. Who was just speaking?
Robin Ward.
That was Robin that was just speaking?
That's correct.
Thank you, Robin. Okay. All right. So, anybody else want to talk about the film real quick before we sign off?
Craig?
Craig, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm officially Howard Coen is not commenting anymore the way he was before. I wrote him an email asking him sort of for an update on what's happening with the film, and he just said there will be no more updates. So, and that, you know, I think I mentioned before that it happened to coincide with the article I wrote about the film, but he says it's not connected. But it certainly kind of leaves us kind of without any knowledge of whether it's going ahead or what changes are being made. It's just kind of, we just kind of have to wait and see.
So I'm sort of looking for any information I can get, basically, to sort of know what has changed, if anything, with the project.
This is Duane.
Good luck.
The latest information I got is that they've got more involvement of the 9/11 families, and they're trying to make it more, let's say, appealing from that perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And they're rewriting it, and we'll probably get the next version soon. That's a typical word.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
All right, well, thanks for that update. And I guess that's it for tonight. We're past our time anyway. We got quite a bit on the call. It was a busy agenda. So thank you all for your cooperation, and we'll see you a month hence. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ken.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.